Well, for the next couple Sunday evenings, I'm going to be doing a series, Believers' Riches in Christ from A to Z. The Believers' Riches in Christ from A to Z. So if you want to number your paper, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, I will give you words for each one. We'll talk about those. We can examine some of the blessings and some of the riches we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we get so busy with life, we don't think about the things that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the first one that I would like to share with you some thoughts about is being accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. That's the A. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be Bibles between the songbooks, and you can look at that. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 6 and 7, it says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." You know, God sees the believer in Christ, and He accepts the believer as His own son, as His own daughter. And that's really a wonderful blessing when you figure where we were before we were saved. If you have your Bibles, look at Ephesians chapter 2. It kind of gives you a picture of where we were before we were accepted in the Beloved. It says, "And you hath He quickened." And they've added the word quickened there, but the word quickened is in verse 5. So we know the context is quickened. And the word quickened means made alive. You've heard of the phrase, "the quick and the dead." That's an old English phrase that means the living and the dead. So it says, "And you hath He made alive, you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, just to pause a moment, we are born sinners. You don't have to do anything to be dead in trespasses and sin. You're born dead in trespasses and sin. And it's going to tell you about that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world." See, the whole world, the world of humanity, is following a course that leads to destruction. And that's why it's important for us to be witnesses, because there aren't very many quick and there's a whole lot of dead. It says, "We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." And the prince of the power of the air is none other than the devil. It says, "that now worketh." And what that's talking about there is energizing. He is energizing the children of disobedience. "That now energizes, that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Disobedience to God. They do their own thing. They go their own way. They make their own plans. They leave God out of their lives. They really don't want God in their lives. "Among whom also," look at this, "we all had our conversation." That 16:11 word means our behavior. We all had our behavior in times past, here it is, "in the lusts of our flesh." The word lust there means the desires of our old nature, the desires for sin. It's not just, when it's talking about lust, oftentimes we think of lust in the context of sexual lust, but this is talking about all kinds of desires that aren't godly desires, all kinds of desires that are motivated and fueled by our old nature. "In time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind." We have fallen minds. Our minds will go where they should not go. Our minds will think things that they should not think. "And were by nature." If you look up that word, the idea is we are from birth. The word nature means that. We are from birth. We were by nature the children of wrath. So before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, before we're accepted in the Beloved, we're anything but accepted in the Beloved. You could say very clearly that we're in the dominion of darkness. We'll be looking at that one a little bit later. But we're walking according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, all that changes. We're accepted the moment that we trust Jesus Christ, and this is the only basis by which we will get to heaven. You know, when I stand before God, I'm not going to be able to stand before God on my own merits. I don't have any. You don't have any. I am accepted only in the Beloved. God loves me just as He loves Christ because I am in Christ. And it's very interesting, if you would, to be able to look at the number of times that the phrase in Christ is used in Ephesians. Just going to point out to you a few of them. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 10, it says this, in Ephesians 1:10, it says, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He gathered together in one all things, here it is, in Christ. And if you trace the in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, you can slip down to verse 20, in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 1, which He wrought in Christ. All that we have is because we're in Christ, because we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by His blood. We're not going to trace every one. All I'm saying is we have a wonderful benefit of being accepted in the Beloved, not because of anything that we have done, but because we are in Christ. Jesus said, I am, in John chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus said, I am in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. It says, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Aren't you glad that you're accepted in Christ? He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's A, accepted in the Beloved. Now the second one is B, for born of God. B is born of God. And to see that phrase, we turn to 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 1. In 1 John in chapter 5, down in verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begatteth, loveth Him also that is begotten of God. You know, God is very literally life. And that life comes through being born of God. We know John chapter 1 and verse 12. I referenced it even this morning in the morning message. But listen again as we see, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Now, the word power in John 1:12 means the right or the authority to become the sons of God. It says, whosoever believeth in Jesus is born of God. This is the method. This is how one is born. John makes it very, very clear here and in the opening passage of John chapter 1 and verse 12, that's how we come into the family of God. We're born of God through Christ Jesus. That means when you trust Christ, you trust Him who is going to bring you into the family of God. He is the one who saw you. He is the one who loved you. He is the one who placed you in the family of God. You didn't have any part in it except to believe what He has done for you. So it is great to be born of God. Not only are we accepted in the Beloved, not only are we born of God when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is one that confuses some people, being crucified with Christ, being crucified with Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and I'd like to explain this a little bit this evening, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this verse states a fact that is true for every believer. We are not to seek to be crucified with Christ. It says we are, but I am crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people who talk about wanting to live the crucified life. Certainly, we want to live our position. We do want to do that. We want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. But this is not what Paul's talking about in this verse. We are not to seek to be crucified with Christ because we already have been crucified with Christ. The principle of living is not by the law. The principle of the Christian life is not by the law, which has been slain, now we are to live by faith. Faith in the Son of God, it says in this verse. You see, the death of Christ upon the cross was not only penal, and when I use the word penal, that is paying for the penalty of sin. Christ's death on the cross was penal. It paid for our sins. You understand that? But it was also substitutionary. That means in our place. He was not only the sacrifice for our sins, he is the substitute for all who believe. So Paul makes this declaration in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that under the law, he was tried and he was found guilty. He was condemned. And in the person of his substitute, he was slain. That's what Paul says. When did that take place? It took place when Jesus Christ was crucified. Paul was crucified with Christ, just like we are crucified with Christ. But it says, nevertheless, I live. How are you to live? You are to live in Christ. He is alive today and at the right hand of God, and we are told that we have been put in Christ. You cannot improve on that. That ought to get rid of the foolish notion that we can crucify ourselves. We have been crucified with Christ. We are to live in Christ. We are not to live like we're under the law. Let's move on to D. This is a nice one. We are delivered from the power of darkness. We're delivered from the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, for 20 years, I worked in the realm and specifically endeavored in helping people who were involved in the occult. I spoke about it to medical professionals because they had to deal with people. I remember speaking about it after a great tragedy in Sun Prairie when several kids had committed suicide. They had suicide packs in the high school, and they had gotten involved in the occult. There were some 50 young people involved in the occult. And I just want you to know that the devil is the destroyer. I lectured on it at Northern Illinois University more than once, and were many churches. But you know, it's a great tragedy today. Some of the most popular movies that are out today and that sell high at the box office are movies about the occult. Vampire movies, friend. I remember being flown out to an international talk show, I was the only believer there, and I sat on one side of me were two people who worship Dagon, and then on the other side of me was a lady who was a vampire. She drank blood from her donors. And the darkness was so, and you know, it was a great tragedy what happened there. Just to tell you how much darkness has a hold on things. When that aired on the national television program, you know, when it came to my portion of the program, when it came to that portion where I was exposing what they did and called it sin and talked about their need for the Lord, you know what? When they aired that program, all that happened was my mouth was moving and no sound came through on that. And I called them and threatened to sue them because they said, we are temporarily experiencing difficulties. But you know what? When I got to the man, the occult lobby was so strong there on that national talk program that they threatened them so much that they bleeped out the things that I had to say about the Lord. I want to tell you, the darkness is real, friends. The darkness is real, and where people could have heard the truth nationally, they had technical difficulties. It wasn't technical difficulties at all. It wasn't aired live, and so consequently, when they aired it on that program, they didn't like the light because sinners love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But in our culture today, so much is now being accepted, even by Christian families. They allow their children to watch the horror films. They allow their children to go to the vampire movies. They allow their children to read these occult novels that are in and so very, very popular today. It is just frightening. I saw recently a Christian person reading one of those, and I said, "Do you understand what you're reading? This girl is in love with a vampire." And I am telling you, friends, you know, when you come to get saved, you're delivered from the power of darkness, and you should not go back and dabble in the darkness. You should not purposely expose yourself to the darkness. There's enough darkness going on right now without purposely exposing yourself to that kind of trash that is there today anyway. And some of the most popular television programs very clearly relate to psychic phenomenon. You know who the power behind that is, don't you? That's the devil. If there's genuine psychic phenomenon, it's the devil. It's not of the Lord. Paul is thankful that we have been delivered from the kingdom of Satan. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were going the way of the world, and we were translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the present aspect of the kingdom of God here on earth today. You can't build the kingdom of God. The only way you can be a part of the kingdom of God is to open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you can be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know, I would very much encourage you to do what the little song says. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You know, Let it shine till Jesus comes. We live in a sinned, darkened world. But thankfully, we're not a part of that sin-darkened world. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been freed from the power of darkness. There's no need to go back and delve in the power of darkness or walk on the edge of the power of darkness. Our policemen have to walk along that edge every day. It is not a pretty thing. And as this culture moves further and further and further away from the principles of the Bible, you know what? When you're not following right and light, you're following wrong and darkness. And so as our culture moves that way, we can expect it to get worse and worse and worse. Well, A, we've been accepted in the Beloved. B, we've been born of God. C, we've been crucified with Christ. D, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. And E, we have been enriched in everything in Christ. We have been enriched in everything in Christ. Now, I would speculate that you don't realize that there is a passage of Scripture in our King James Bible that uses the term enriched, but there is. And I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to have you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 5, it says that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. I believe that the context of what is being talked about there is how that before we had the New Testament, the utterance is talking about the ability to witness to people in languages that they haven't learned, which is tongues. But now let me talk to you about tongues just for a moment. Tongues was never gibberish. It was never gibberish. It was, you know, somebody said, well, yeah, it is, because it says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. Well, now, no, you need to read the context. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when the apostles spoke in tongues, every man heard in the language wherein they were born. They were genuine languages. It was just like if somebody walked in this evening and they asked me in their broken, let's say their broken Romanian language, what it meant to be saved. If I would have been in the apostolic times, the foundation period of the church before the New Testament was written, I may be able, if the Spirit had given me utterance, I may be able to witness in perfect Romanian to that person, even though I don't even know a Romanian word, unless is goulash, is that Romanian? I don't know. But anyway, I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is, God gave the ability, and also He gave the spiritual gift of knowledge. But there is an application in this verse. It says, in everything ye are enriched by Him. Our Lord gives us everything that we need as believers to live a successful Christian life. He has done that. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What I'm telling you is simply this. You know, God has given us His Word, and within His Word, we have everything there that we need to live a successful Christian life. We have been enriched in Him. As I tell you so often, that God tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right in the Word of God. You don't have to have dreams. You don't have to have visions. You don't have to go and see a psychic. You don't have to... No, you just need to get into the Word of God. You need to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God in you. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can't live something that you do not know. That's why it's so important to get into the Word of God. Honestly, now let me take a poll. How many of you, when you are seeking to make a decision or you're seeking to witness to somebody or you're seeking to go in a particular direction, a passage of Scripture popped into your head? Let me see your hands. All right, nearly everybody, a lot of people. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Holy Word of God to give us direction in our life. And so we are enriched in everything in Christ. Two more, and then I'm going to quit, even though it'll be a little early this evening. Shock, shock. But the next one, the F, is forgiven for Christ's sake. Forgiven for Christ's sake. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, we see this wonderful blessing that we have. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, I keep in my office and often use it in witnessing. When I have the opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ in my office, I always go over and grab the little globe there. And the reason I grab the little globe is, if you're going to try and lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, they need to know that they're lost. They need to know that they're a sinner. And so I'll go over and grab the little globe and I will talk to them about how that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, and that there's none righteous, no, not one, and that the whole world is guilty before God. It doesn't matter who you are, and that your sins will send you to a Christless eternity in hell. And I try and get them thinking about their sins, and I try and get them thinking about some specific sins. And oftentimes that gets them under conviction because the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. But then I tell them, you know, you can get rid of those. Because the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Transgressions are sin. Now, you know, okay, that's great, but you need to understand, and I've told you many times before, what I like to do is put my finger on that little globe that I have and say, now watch this. Here's what this means. I start going east on the globe, and I go around the globe at least two or three times. And I said, how long can you go east on the globe? How long can you go east on a globe? Forever. Ah, so then I stop. I start going west on the globe. How long can you go west on a globe? Forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Do you get it? I mean, in relationship to judgment and condemnation, we will never see our sins again because our sins have been forgiven for Christ's sake. They are gone. Now, when you stand before the great white throne of judgment, you'll stand there because you're unsaved. And you will. Your works will be shown, your sins will be shown, and the degree of punishment will be meted out to you at the great white throne of judgment if you are an unbeliever. But that is not where we stand as believers. We stand in a much better place. We stand at the Bema Seat of Judgment. Now, granted, the Bema Seat of Judgment, I don't think it's particularly going to be a piece of cake. But we stand there not for the judgment of sin, because you know where our sins were judged? At the cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote His sacred head for such a worm as I? Our sins were all judged at the cross. What we're at the Bema Seat is so that God, when He gets rid of all the junk and all the false motives and all the insincere stuff, those all get burned up. And you know what's left there is what He can reward. So that you can have a reward from God. And it says even those who works might be burned up, they will be saved, so yet as by fire. I mean, even if your motives were wrong, even if you had selfishness in the whole things, you will still be saved. But the things you've done with the right motive, the things that you've done because you should have done, the things that you've done when you've obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be rewarded because you're not being judged for sin. Your sins were judged, if you're a believer, at the cross of Calvary, and they have been forgiven for Christ's sake, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Now, man, that is a blessing. Now, that should motivate us to forgive others. You know, we've been forgiven such a great debt. We ought to forgive others. We ought to forgive others. The last one for this evening is going to be the letter G. And then I'll review all of those. But G is grounded in love. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Grounded in love. I know God was speaking to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 17, but I love it and I believe that it's appropriate to use it in the age of grace as well. It says in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Wow. Our Lord loves us with an everlasting love too. Paul is praying that we will be able to comprehend that great love, that we will be grounded in the love, being able to understand the love. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4 and 5. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says this. It says, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Even when we were not lovable, even while we were in our sins, had no desire, no interest, not an inkling of a care about the Lord, he made provision for us anyway. Amen? Wow. We need to understand that. We need to be grounded in love because our Lord does love us with an everlasting love. So, let me review and then we'll be done. A, we're accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. B, we're born of God, 1 John 5, 1. C, we're crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. D, we're delivered from the power of darkness, Colossians 1:13. E, we're enriched in everything in him, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 5. F, we're forgiven for Christ's sake, Ephesians 4:32. And G, we're grounded in love, Ephesians 3:17. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're missing a whole lot of the riches, the believer's riches in Christ. And those of us who have Christ as our Savior, A through G and more, that's all of ours. And what a blessing we have.